Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Outreach Radio, brought to you by the Elite Speakers Bureau. Join ESB owners and your hosts, Denise Brown and Danielle Pierre, as they discuss and interview their expert speakers regarding topics such as violence prevention, school safety, suicide prevention, addiction and recovery, mental health and wellness, leadership, and more. Denise and Danielle also interview event hosts about their upcoming events, so tune in weekly to ask questions, find solutions, or get event information. All showtimes to be announced. And now, here's your hosts, Denise and Danielle.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Outreach Radio. This is Danielle, and Denise won't be joining us today, so it's just going to be myself running the ship solo here. And we have a great guest, LeVar Fisher, and we're going to give you a little bit of information about LeVar, and then we're going to get him on the line, and he can tell his backstory and whatnot, and we'll talk a little bit. And LeVar is an awarded college athlete who became a successful pro, captaining not one but two NFL teams, later taking that leadership role onto the stage as a sought-after motivational speaker. So he is an ex-NFL player, now motivational speaker. Great guy, very full of energy. You're going to enjoy him. His amazing story has inspired audiences nationwide, receiving praise from notables like author and speaker Les Brown, love Les Brown, and former Florida State football coach Chuck Amato. I hope I said that right. Surprisingly, LeVar's rise to the top isn't because he hasn't made mistakes, but because he has made the mistakes and has learned how to channel them into positives. And I'm going to end that there because I'm going to let him pick up the ball, figuratively, and explain what that means. So without further delay, LeVar, thank you for joining us and welcome to the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you? Always a pleasure to talk to you. Full of energy.
Oh, man. It's great. Life is very good for me right now.
Oh, good. It is. It really is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have you just share a little bit of your backstory leading up to when you became an NFL player, because that was your dream for a while, if I'm not mistaken, correct, since you were a kid?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And you know where I come from, small town Beaufort, North Carolina? It's I never seen any professional athletes at all, you know. And when you were a young kid, you go around and tell people you're going to the NFL or you're going to make a ton of money one day, people tend to laugh at you. And, you know, I don't know where it came from, that fire desire I had in my belly. But, you know, I can remember my mom always telling me, never let anybody tell you what you cannot do or what you cannot achieve in your life. She always reiterated that my whole life. And I'm telling you, it made a huge difference in my life. That's why when I go around and I speak to parents all over the country, your words count. How big, how small, it doesn't really matter. Your words count. And I encourage the parents to just, you know, encourage their kids, let them know that they can make it, no matter the circumstances. You know, I got four brothers, three sisters, you know, a family of eight, and I'm the baby, you know. And,
wow.
Growing up, that's, you know, my life was wanting to go to college, wanting to make a ton of money. You know, I was tired of seeing my mom struggle, tired of seeing, you know, my dad working, is just going working until he, you know, just couldn't move. And you know, you see my mom rub his feet because he just had those type of days working, you know, 14, 18 hour days sometimes just to take care of me and my brothers and sisters. And I just wanted more. I wanted more. So on up to, you know, going as a kid, you know, just dreaming big, wanting more. You know, I got bullied a lot, and a lot of people look at me now and they say, no way, you got bullied. But, man, I was bullied big time. And that really, you know, I kind of have this thing, let all those haters become motivators. And that's kind of what I did. All those people that said I couldn't do it, I wanted to prove them all wrong. And I tell you, in high school, I became one of the best linebackers in the country. When I got to college, I became the defensive player of the year. I became an All-American. I was an academic All-American also. I won award after award after award, and it was all because I wanted to prove so many people wrong, and I wanted to live up to that promise when I told my mom, hey, Mom, one day I'm going to buy you a house. I'm going to buy you whatever flower you want around that house. I'm going to do something great. And she giggled and laughed at it then, but I was able to do it. And I tell you, man, that was the best feeling in the world.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
I bet that was the best day of your life. You know, and
yes, it was.
That for you to have taken the bullying, and we're going to get into that a little bit more down into the interview, but you took it and made it into a positive where you could have very well. There's so much bullying going on now, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But you took that and you let that drive you, and I said that's very inspiring. So now you went into college, you got into football, and then you were drafted into the NFL. So
yes, ma'am. I was the
weren't laughing anymore, were they?
No. And you know, I tell a story about one of the biggest bullies I had. You know, I call him, you know, in my store, I call him Mr. Punk, you know. And I have this thing about Burger King, because Burger King was the only place in my small hometown. That was the only fast food place back when I was young kid. And, you know, when I got drafted, I remember getting my first new car. This car was beautiful. I had TVs in it. I had rims on it. This was my dream car. And I remember driving home one day and got a little hungry. Drove into Burger King, got to the drive-thru window, and guess who was taking my order? Mr. Punk was taking my order. The guy that bullied me, the guy that called me fat, called me slow, called me weak, told me I would never achieve anything in my life. This guy was taking my order.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, it's not a fake story. This is a true story. And that was one of the best days, I'm telling you, that I've ever had, man. It was just redemption.
Yeah,
oh, man.
And that's karma at its best.
Yes,
you know,
it
so
was.
Take that to heart for people that are listening that, you know, that's why we don't do those things to people. So, okay, so then you're an NFL player. And I think you have a knee injury at some point. So what you did, how did you transition into, because now you're a motivational speaker. And it's obvious why. You know, you have a great story. You have great energy. And so many kids and people, not just kids, but and you do a lot of work with kids, need motivation and inspiration. It seems like there's so much negative that's always put out into the universe, you know, and or at least in our society anymore on the news. And I don't even watch the news.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people need something that's going to make them feel hopeful and motivated and energized and good about themselves. So you went from the NFL and you started motivational speaking. How did that transition? What made you?
Well, actually, it wasn't as easy as you make it sound. And I'm sure you know that, but it was it was probably after a year of pouting and crying that I wasn't in the NFL anymore. My wife kind of slapped me around a bit and made me get up, and she's always been that rock, that backbone I needed, man, and she encouraged me. But I remember, you know, going back to North Carolina and just talking to my coach. And even at that point, you know, I was just pouting, man. I didn't know what to do. You know, I played in the NFL. I had four great seasons. It was awesome, but my knees just couldn't hold out. And I remember talking to my coach. He said, you know, hey, man, LeVar, figure out what you're good at, and you already know what that is, and look, you'll make a great living at it. And he was always talking about speaking. And I really believe, man, that I've been groomed to do this. You know, all through my high school years, I've always been put as the captain. I was always the speaker. You know, even in college, they always put me out to speak for the team. And my coach, I remember having to give a speech for the seniors. And it was I was so nervous and I was so scared to do it, but my coach encouraged me to do it. And this is Chuck Amato at this point. And then I remember coming back and he said, man, look what you've done. Look how you're going through your life and you're going around and you're speaking and you're doing all this stuff for free. Imagine if you just, hey, man, start, you know, take this passion and let it be your career. And that's kind of how it was, man. I went for a company called Sports World, great company, and I started speaking all around the country. It was a great platform, and the rest is history. You know, I have campaigns. You know, my number one campaign is freeze and think. Freeze and think about the consequences. And it is awesome. You know, it's changing kids' lives all the way around the country, man. I've written a book.
You have a book, too. And I was just going to get into that with you, actually, and say that you do a lot of work with youth. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I wanted to kind of frame this a little bit for you because you do a lot of work with you. Well, how long have you been speaking now? It's been quite a while, right? About over a decade.
Yeah, I've been speaking since, professionally, I've been speaking since like 08, 09. So not a long time, but it's been quite a while.
It's a nice little, that's a bit of time. We're already coming up on 2016 next year, so believe it or not,
yes,
holy
ma'am.
Cow. But this is just flying by. But what I was going to say is you do a lot of work with youth, and gosh, that's so important. And it's taken me back to what you said about the parents and how what your parents were are very impactful on how the child may or may not turn out, what choices they make, and how they feel about themselves. And so if you're, you know, parents that are overly critical of their kids or tell them they're stupid or they're not good enough, that is very, very detrimental, always punishing and stuff. And, I've seen that. But you've also seen parents who are very supportive, like your mother, which is wonderful, because that is what gives you your wings, right? So you do a lot of work with youth, and you have your freeze program, which you just mentioned. Do you want to kind of get us... share that with us and let us know a little bit about
it. Oh, yes, ma'am. You know, freeze is an acronym. And, you know, F is focus on what's important. Realize who you are. Eliminate negative influences. Encourage others. Zone in on your goals. Expect success. And, you know, in a nutshell, the decisions you make are going to dictate your future. That's basically what it means, man. And when I break it down to each and every one of these kids, I try to open their eyes up to just that. Every decision you make in your life is going to dictate your future. Where do you want to go? Where do you see yourself? And what's the master plan? How do you see yourself getting there? And, you know, it's up to you. Yeah, we find ourselves in situations and, you know, some may be more privileged than others financially or just where you grow up at. But ultimately, the decisions you make are going to dictate your future. And freeze is just another way for them to stop and think. And if everybody, even myself, yourself, if you could do that on a daily basis – man, it changes your life. You know what I mean? Somebody cut you off in traffic. Like, what are you going to do? I mean, that's one of those freeze moments. Somebody bumps into you in the hallway. Or if somebody just, for most kids now, if somebody writes some bad stuff on Facebook about you, how are you going to respond? Just freeze and think about the consequences. And yes, man, my book is, I think it's the greatest thing in the world because I wrote it, of course. But, man, every person that reads it, I've got great feedback, and I'm going to do some revisements because I've had so many more stories come out since I've written the book, man, and I really want to implement those stories. And my other book is Hold On To Your Dreams, and that's pretty much about my life and how I went from small-town kid to becoming the number one linebacker in the country. And getting drafted
into
the NFL.
And how you made your dreams come true, and absolutely. And you can find, for our listeners, they can find your books on our website, on your profile. So if you go to theelitespeakersbureau.com, LeVar's one of our featured speakers this month, and so you'll be able to access his profile there, as well as if you look under speakers. And then when you get there, his books are right there for you to order. Click on, go right to Amazon. You know, when you said decision, I recently posted something I read and posted it, shared it, because I thought it was so significant. And it said, when you repeat a mistake, it's not a mistake anymore, it's a decision. And I really, that just hit me like, wow, that is so true.
Well, I'm going to steal that. I love it.
Yeah, isn't that
Yeah, so, it's awesome.
It is, because, you know, everybody makes mistakes. We all make them. But if you continue to repeat the same mistakes, now you're making a decision to do them, as opposed to just a mistake. So you're right. Your decisions do dictate your future, and they're going to affect you later on in years when you don't realize it is going to come back up. So you got to be very mindful about that. You you worked with bullying, too, and bullying has become, or what seems to have become, an epidemic. I think, personally, that it's been around for the longest time, if not since the beginning of time. However, now with social media and everybody is so in each other's business, if you will, all the time, and you can see immediate, you know, we have immediate access to everything that's going on, that the bullying seems to be worse, and I think we're just more aware of it. But either way it goes, bullying is a horrible thing for anybody, and you experienced it. So you also work with children on bullying. What do you say to them? How do you address that with kids? It's such a
Well, first of all, I want the parents and the kids to understand there's a difference between bullying and just
conflict.
Kids trying to have some fun with yourself like that. You know, I mean, some kids will. I mean, somebody could crack a joke, and that kid is because we are, you know, we're so sensitive now. Parents really want to get into an uproar, and you know, go to the schools, and I mean, really jump down a principal's throat. But what I try to do is, you know, how I address it is really making them understand that, you know, it starts with yourself. All right, how do you treat others? And you know, that's how you want to be treated. And if somebody keeps, you know, pressing the issue, somebody keeps, you know, riding you or jumping on your back, that's when you really need to speak with somebody. Nobody will ever know if you never say anything. So you have to speak out. Don't be nervous about just speaking to someone. Man, there's so many kids committing suicide. There's so many kids that are cutting themselves because they're in pain. Yeah. But all they have to do is just talk to a person. And that one person, just by speaking with them, can get them in the right. They can get them in the right direction. Have them going to speak to the proper people, or, you know, let that principal know so that principal can put that kid in his place. So I really want kids to understand to just speak up, speak out, and I promise you, people will help you. Somebody will help you. You don't have to live in this world all by yourself.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, and that's a great message. And as a matter of fact, other kids will help you. This is where kids kind of mistake that when they feel isolated, particularly by bullies, I think, is that they think that all the kids are against them. But really, there's a big group of children out there that don't like bullying and that they have, you know, peer groups. And I think that's really important to have these peer groups, you know, so that they feel like it's not just the adults they turn to, but they can turn to other kids. So,
yes, ma'am.
You have I titled the show, and I want to touch on this real quick before we go. I titled it More Than a Pro. And can you tell us, because that's what, you know, your bio and everything about you says, being more than a pro. Can you explain what that means to you?
Oh, yes, ma'am, and I love it. You know, my wife, I remember we were sitting down, you know, and creating our website, and, you know, and I'm actually writing, you know, I'm on my third book. It actually was my first book, but it was so much content that I'm still really, you know, adding, and then I can't get really as comfortable as I want to release it yet. But More Than a Pro is just whatever you believe your profession is, you're more than just that. I was more than just an NFL linebacker. There were layers to myself, and as it is with you, there are so many layers to yourself, and you want people to see that. You don't want somebody to just look at you as a, you know, I mean, because my whole life, I mean, people will look at you as a jock or as a meathead or whatever. And I wanted them to know, man, hey, I'm a talented person. I'm a speaker. I'm a you know, I'm a family man. I'm so many different things, and reality sets in when the NFL is over, and it's kind of more. And you know, when it comes from more than a pro to reality, that's the second part of my book, Pro to Reality, because after making $30,000 a week in the NFL, I'm sure you know, wow, you don't make $30,000 a week no more,
yeah,
when you're out of the NFL. And the reality sets in, and now you want people to know the other layers. You're not in the NFL no more. You're not that stockbroker anymore, or whatever your profession is. All right, now how can you help people? How are other people looking at you now? And you want them to see every layer that you have to offer.
Right. Yeah, and so you're so much more than a pro. You're a lot of different. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different levels to all of us. That's a wonderful message, actually.
That's
is
right.
There something that you want to share with our listeners as far as that goes before we end the interview? Something to, you know, a little bit of motivation about following your dreams, and you've obviously proven that, you know, it's a mindset, really. And
yes,
go for it.
Oh, well, man, I just want every listener out there to just understand, man, no matter the age, no matter what your circumstances are, you have a tongue, you have a dream, you have everything you need to get where you want to go in life. I love what I learned from my coach. He said, you know, he talked about the four G's. You have goals, you have a game plan, you have goods, and you have guts, all right? Goals.
Oh, that's great.
What is your goal? Your goal is whatever it is, all right? You got to have a game plan. That game plan is, hey, if I want to lose weight, if I don't want to become this or that, my game plan is I have to get up every morning at 6 a.m. I have to eat this way. I have to do this. I have to – whatever your game plan is or whatever your goal is,
right,
you have to have that game plan. And then the goods. The goods are, I promise you, your God-given ability, you have it. Whatever, you know, and I don't want to get too spiritual, but whatever that dream is, that God-given dream that you have, I promise you that God has given you the ability. The universe has given you the ability to achieve that. You wouldn't have that dream or goal if you know, if you didn't have the ability. So you have those goods,
right.
I promise you. Then the guts. The guts is nothing but that heart, that fist that's beating in your chest. Everybody has it, but like I tell the young kids, not all of you use it. Not all of you guys run through the finish. I'm encouraging everybody out there to just finish. You start something, give your all to finish. You have the guts. You have what it takes to do it, but you have to give everything you have, everything you got, to finish this race. So I promise you, you have the goals. You have to make that game plan. You truly have the goods. Dig deep and use the guts that you have, and I promise you life will be so great for you.
That is awesome. Absolutely awesome. What a wonderful way to end the show, LeVar. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your insight with our listeners. And also, LeVar speaks nationwide, possibly internationally. We haven't discussed that yet, but nationwide to
with your help.
Schools.
Yes,
yeah,
ma'am. Thank
absolutely.
You.
To schools and as young as elementary schools, high schools, and you also speak to adults as well. So if you're interested in booking LeVar, please do visit our website at theelitespeakersbureau.com, and all of our contact information is on there. LeVar, it's a pleasure. It always is a pleasure. Thank you so much. And you have
oh,
a
man,
awesome
it's a pleasure.
Day.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Please join us again next Tuesday night for another great show. For more information about upcoming shows, visit us at www.outreachradioshow.com.